B-Pod Studios.
They're Boston's number one afternoon show.
The most powerful sports radio show in New England.
America's number one afternoon sports show.
Yeah, but we're the biggest.
And number one in your heart.
And I just came here to help you rate it.
Sorry, John. Thank you.
Don't need it.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
You guys understand a little better why I do this now every day? A little clearer understanding?
I'm as big a germaphobe as you anyway. So.
I'm just curious if it's all hit home a little bit when we do this every day.
I'm going to show up tomorrow in a latex suit.
Don't clean that yet because I need a photo of that and let the world see.
Scuba gear.
Let the world see our fine coworker.
You think I'm joking?
Look on the radio audience. I'm holding up a can of Hormel chili with beans. Just... that Zoe bought for the apocalypse.
Yep.
Right? Because he wants to be like Mad Max eating out of his canned chili thing. So Zoe's just a guy to go apocalypse shopping and then eat all the apocalypse supplies.
Right.
The whole point, Zoe, is to save it. Those are your stores, you see.
And then leave his DNA all over the studio.
The point of going shopping for the apocalypse is not then to have a feast with your apocalypse supplies. The point is then to put them away. And have your Hormel beef and bean chili during the apocalypse.
Oh, I was hungry.
I mean, if you saw the trash area here underneath the thing, that's the apocalypse right there.
Seriously, though.
It's like I always say. It's like they've shaved an ape, and that's our coworker.
So what am I supposed to do with this? What am I supposed to do with this?
Clean it up, Maz.
We're going to have to empty it as usual. You diligently do the trash every day you come in here. But this is above and beyond.
So, and it's good. I got a little Hormel chili on my monitor here, too. See, I'm just wiping it off here, the screen. Can you see this? This is what I'm doing. I'm wiping off the chili.
Zoe got a head start on the apocalypse today.
Yep. Zoe did. What I'm going to do is I am going to make sure that this pile of trash is sitting on this chair tomorrow at 9:59 so that he has to sit in it. That's what I'm going to do.
It's Felger and Mazz here on Monday, March the 2nd.
Happy Monday.
It's a re-entry Monday. It's presented by East Boston Savings Bank. We're going to begin with what else? The Brady Watch here from our Town Fair Tire Studios. He, Edelman, and Jimmy Fallon go to a Syracuse basketball game, of course, because why wouldn't they? So what everyone's talking about is Edelman says he's coming back. And then Brady says what? Is it what I just heard on the midday? Did they isolate? Has it finally been isolated and confirmed that he said
NFL Network had the isolated audio, which is what the midday show played, which I have queued up for you right now.
Go ahead.
He's coming back. He's coming back.
This is crazy.
What'd you tell Beheim?
He's got it.
Okay, so Brady says he's got it, but he's not talking back to Edelman, who said he's coming back. He's
talking to someone else.
Fallon, or they're chattering about, does Boeheim got it? Meaning, like,
say to Boeheim?
Did you send him the thank you? Did you send him the note? Did you send him whatever we traded for these seats? Did you send him the blah, blah, blah? And Brady's like, he's got it. So that was back and forth.
Yes.
That's really good work by the NFL Network.
Yeah. Tremendous, actually.
My God, how do they do that?
I don't know. It's like, I wonder if it was like some sort of spy device.
Seriously, that was impressive. Anyway, what's your reaction to it, Anthony?
I think Brady was annoyed with Edelman. I think he was pissed. I think the look on his face to me told me as much as anything. They're like, Jules, what are you doing? Shut up, Jules. What do you think? This is some sort of big game? And so, I mean, that was my read on it. I think he was annoyed. And I'm sure because he and Edelman are buddies, he got over it quickly. But it certainly felt like he was irritated by it.
I think based on body language alone, Brady didn't need to say anything that we could read into and try to read his lips. It was obvious. He was annoyed with Edelman, like Maz was saying. I don't think we're making that up. Just watch it. What's your gut instinct? He looks at Edelman, and I know they're boys. He wouldn't be there without him. But Edelman is definitely, I think, without question, off the field, one of those guys that gets way annoying. Like one of those guys in your crew that's like, hey, you remember that time? Fill in the blank of something you don't want someone else to know. And you're like, dude, will you shut up? Like, oh, Jesus. I can't bring this guy anywhere. Like, that's what Brady acted like. Like, all right, dude, like, enough.
Right. So he's the kind of guy that would jump on the hood of someone's car is what he is.
Right, yeah. So what's the read of the situation as it relates to reading the tea leaves? How do you read that? I'll go first. Brady has no stomach for the game. Even though his camp and he, to some degree, behind the scenes is playing the game, he publicly has no stomach for the game. He doesn't. It's like, Jules, shut up. I don't want to do this. Because he doesn't. The cameras are on him. He's in the front row. He's next to Fallon. It's a great place to sort of say, hey, look at me. I'm free.
A lot easier to play the game through media members and those that you can leak information to. But when the camera's straight in your face and we got, what, 15 days until this thing?
He doesn't have the stomach for it.
Yeah, that was like, oh, boy. You know, like, oh, this is real. Now I'm actually faced with having to deal with this. Get the camera out of my face.
He doesn't have the stomach for it, which sort of plays into the... He wants to go somewhere where he's not in our hair because he doesn't want to deal with pissing off all the people around here. And he just doesn't have the stomach for it. He never has. And maybe he never will. And that's just sort of my, you know, we're all reading into it. We're all guessing and throwing crap, you know, but that's my sort of read for it. That you just saw in that little snippet right there, that harmless little stupid snippet, that he doesn't really have the stomach for it. Which makes, you know, which plays into what I think is really a good chance to happen, and that is Brady changes his mind at the last minute and comes back. Because I think all the tea leaves and all the things that he's saying and putting out and the way he feels right now is that he's gone. But can he really do it? Can he really, does he have the stomach to do it? He doesn't even have the stomach to play to the cameras for 10 seconds in a college basketball game on a Saturday in the middle of February. How's he going to sign on the dotted line for the L.A. effing Chargers?
I mean, I don't connect it the way you do. I just look at it as like, Jules, what are you doing? Can we just go to the game and not talk about the contract? I don't want to negotiate on national TV. So that's the way I took it. But I also think
I think that's true. But
that to me,
to maximize your free agent, aren't you going to negotiate on TV and play it up? Some guys would.
Yeah, but then I think it might come off as transparent. I don't know. I just, if I were him, I wouldn't have said anything about anything.
Yeah.
I'd let everybody keep guessing. I think that's your best weapon, is keep everyone sort of uncertain. Keep them on their toes. Keep them on eggshells, including the Patriots. So, like, which is why I think he just wanted Edelman to say nothing. Like, Jules, it's not even, it's not your future. Shut up.
Okay, so there was a lot of reporting over the weekend. We're going to go through it throughout the course of the day. With you, we'll have a Bruins breather this hour. We'll talk about the Celtics coming up next hour. So we'll mix in some other things. It is a reentry Monday. So you can call us on whatever at 617-779-0985. But primarily, we'll unpack the reporting from over the weekend on the Brady Watch. T-minus 15 days. 15 days.
It's coming fast now.
And they haven't even sat down to talk. Although Tom Curran, and that's where I'll start, Tom Curran on NBC Sports Boston says they will. He says, we're now T-minus 15 days, maybe it's 14 from today even, until Brady becomes a free agent. Let's recalibrate on the whole thing, he says. First off, this is not a Cold War. The Patriots want Tom Brady to play quarterback for them in 2020. Do you agree with that?
If the price is right. I mean, so that's like an open-ended statement to me. To me, it's like, does Brady want to play for the Patriots? Well, yeah, if they pay him. Do the Patriots want Brady to play for him? Well, yeah,
if they don't have to.
Right.
They don't have to.
I mean, so this is sort of the crux of the matter, right, is they can't agree on ultimately what type of investment is required to keep him here. And that's a big problem.
So I think it's just kind of wishy-washy to say that because they're putting it on him. Well, it's up to Tom whether or not he wants to come back. You know what I mean? Like, it's just – if they would treat this like the Saints. If you really want him back, you do everything in your power to have the conversation to bring him back.
Well, right. But, I mean, so what's great is that Curran, through this whole process, you know, he's been a – leading source on this stuff. I think a real, just one of the key guys in terms of the reporting of this, because he talks to important people, but he's got to maintain those relationships with those important people. So there's so much couching going on, in a lot of his stuff, and I don't blame him. But it's, you got to parse through who he's talking to and what side that comes from. And it's sort of part of the fun, part of the game in reading his stuff. So he says the Patriots want Tom Brady to play quarterback for them in 2020. There are financial hoops to jump through. There are personnel obstacles to clear. Understandings on both sides need to be reached. But the Patriots want to try to make that happen. There's been no meeting, but it hasn't been total radio silence. Texts have been sent. Bill Belichick is not freezing Brady out. So, like, that's a great piece of information. Where does that one come from? Okay, so, I mean, wherever.
Yeah, I get you.
Discussed amongst yourselves. Bill Belichick is not freezing Brady out. Is that the Patriots? Because it feels like he's talked to Patriots people. Now, is that Belichick people or Kraft people? Because there's two sides to that. But certainly it feels to me like the Krafts are mindful of the PR hit of what, you haven't even spoken to him yet?
Right.
And so it wouldn't surprise me if the Krafts are saying, no, Bill's in contact. Don't worry. He's not freezing him out. Bill's been touching base with him. Because again, I don't know. Does Bill share this information? I don't know. It's part of the fun of reading this stuff. You don't know where it's coming from. It's coming from the principals. Bill Belichick is not freezing Brady out, writes Kern. Last week, I wrote a column saying the dreaded fate of bad optics awaited the Patriots if it appeared Belichick was dragging his feet to bring Brady back. He isn't, writes Kern. The Patriots are already active in overhauling their offense, and while the timetable for Brady becoming a free agent makes it tough for the team to make seismic moves to improve, don't be surprised if the team is busy on the trade market before free agency opens. Hey, you got a thought on that?
No, I mean, I would hope that they are. Again, you can't get caught with your pants down. I mean, it's not on this one. You want to let Rob Gronk, and I didn't like it on the Gronk thing either, but you're going to mess around with quarterback? I would hope that they're lining up their ducks.
Curran writes, where do things stand with Brady? It's not the lost cause it was reported to be. Last Friday, as a seeming rebuttal to the Patriots' excuse that the CBA was holding things up, ESPN's Jeff Darlington said, in essence, that CBA or not, this is Brady's decision, and he may be beyond convincing to return. Let me just stop. I like the reporting there where Kern sort of, in a couple different places, says the Brady camp was annoyed. He didn't say that. I'm inferring that the Brady camp was annoyed with the Patriots' excuse that we can't talk because of the CBA. And as Kern points out, the CBA being an impediment? Earlier he wrote that film's the excuse that no talks have taken place because the new CBA isn't ratified. Really? You need a new CBA to have a, hey, how you doing? What are you thinking? We love you kind of conversation?
Totally right.
Totally right.
Yeah, totally. You know, and again, I think many of us felt that way at the end of last week. I know you did. I know I did. I know Murray did.
From the first second.
Oh, God, that was a joke.
You can't sit down and start talking?
Yeah, that was a joke.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's an excuse is what it is.
Yes, a borderline lie on the part of the Patriots, and maybe Brady's camp took it as such. Maybe they were a little off-put by that, and Kern sort of implies here that the Darlington stuff was a rebuttal to the Patriots saying, no, oh, hey, look, we don't have the rules on the CBA, which again is just patent nonsense. You can't sit down and say, generally speaking, we want you back. We're willing to give you 2 years at market rate. Are you willing to do that? Yes, we're willing to do that. Okay, we can hammer out the details after. I mean, like, there's nothing precluding anyone from doing that. And the fact that the Patriots aren't doing it speaks to something else other than the CBA. Bill's leveraging Brady. He's, you know, getting a Mancy or playing a negotiating game or whatever the case may be. But I found that interesting that the Brady camp may have seen that as the, you know, flimsy bullcrap excuse that it was.
Definitely. Definitely. And good for them for calling him on it. I mean, that's just garbage. Again, when you're talking to a player of that magnitude, you have to wait for the CBA before you can sit down and, like, start nailing stuff down?
Nonsense. Anyway, Curran writes that when I asked a source whether Brady had washed his hands of the Patriots, I was told, of course not. There's an attachment there. You can't be someplace for 20 years and not have an attachment. That's just not who he is. Brady, I was told, will listen closely to what the Patriots have to say. So I love that part. So that's where you are. You're just in line with everybody else. He's going to listen closely to what you have to say. So T-minus 15 days, and we're still in that spot where Brady is gauging you. He's assessing you. And, meanwhile, hints are all over the place. Reports are all over the place. That's where we're starting. How you feeling today? T-minus 15 days to go. What's your temperature? He gone? 617-779-0985. Back with more right after this.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go, on the Sports Hub app.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Maz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It's a big deal anytime the Orange and the Tar Heels get together in a college hoop showdown. Now you recognize those three guys sitting across the court from us? Tom Brady, Julian Edelman, and Jimmy Fallon.
Star power in effect here at the Carrier Dome this afternoon.
Now, should we say former Patriot Tom Brady?
No, can't say that yet.
Although when he was introduced before the game, you know, we're in Buffalo Bills country here in central New York. He was roundly booed by all the Bills fans in the building.
So Brady in Syracuse with the Julian Edelman over the weekend. Edelman says he's coming back, and Brady, I don't know how you describe that response. Was cool to it?
Oh, definitely. See, I mean, even like Murray said, the body language, he basically turned away from him. Like, yeah, you're on your own with that one.
Remember that time you puked all over our teammates? All right, dude, like, enough. Camera's on. Like, that's what Edelman is. Love him on the field, but boy, is he just a corny DB off of it.
And by the way, I'm not telling you that turning away from him means Brady's agreeing or disagreeing.
Right.
I'm just saying he's annoyed with, like, dude, would you just shut up?
He was gritting his teeth. Like, it was like, all right. He's coming back, everyone. Coming back.
All right, it's Felger Maz presented by DraftKings. Your thoughts, Aldo and Ludlow. Hi, Aldo.
I won't take the boat out when he's on.
Aldo!
Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, guys. I'm sorry about that.
It's all right,
the reason for my call was, you guys think if Edelman was sitting there by himself, he'd be recognized without the beard?
So what's the point?
Well, my point was, you know, I didn't really have one, but
Okay, then I'm going to let you go. Do you understand what he was asking me?
No, I mean, just maybe.
He was hiding in plain sight. People don't even know it's Edelman.
I don't know where he was going with that. Maybe that Edelman needs Brady to be recognized. I have no idea.
Edelman said what he said to get attention on him.
Got it.
Yeah, that's an idea.
That's him off the field at all times.
Absolutely. Got it. I'm with Murray on that.
To me, I don't care about the Edelman part. How about them FaceTiming Vrabel then?
So that I found a little like.
Do you think, first of all, are we sure that was Vrabel? Is that confirmed?
I'm a bit of a conspiracy theorist with stuff like that. I don't know if that's not altered.
Really?
Like, yeah, someone. I think you could fudge around and like put Vrabel's face
you
on.
You do?
I do. I don't know how.
Even
I don't
though
know
Edelman's like moving the phone around. Like, isn't this great? Isn't this awesome? We're lip reading and you know.
I think there's like a 10% chance that's fake. I do.
That's a fake screen.
Yeah.
That Alex Jones.
Yeah, right. It's a false screen conspiracy.
Like, isn't this awesome? Isn't this great? 14, 15 days to go, and we're reading lips and wondering if someone superimposed Mike Vrabel on the FaceTime that Edelman was throwing up. But let's just say it's really Vrabel. Do you think that's a load of crap on the part of Brady? Do you think that's Brady playing it up? Or is that genuine? Brady's gone to Tennessee, and he FaceTimes Vrabel like, you wouldn't believe what's just going on here. Hey, Mike, what's up?
I mean, I think it'd be genuine if it were there. I mean, although, you know, how could Brady be so dumb as to be in a public place and have Vrabel FaceTime and not think it was going to show up on the internet?
Front row.
But I'm going to believe what I want to believe.
If real.
Which is that it was real.
Yeah.
And not only that, and, oh, geez, I haven't heard from Bill, but I'll FaceTime with Vrabel at the Syracuse game. You know, like, see, Bill, the other guys are checking in with me.
Great.
I don't think that they're talking business in public like that. Maybe Vrabel was at home watching that game, saw that they were there, and he's like, why are you there? Because both those teams suck this year, too. What are you doing in Syracuse, New York?
I don't know. That's the first thing I thought of. Like, oh, great. Belichick won't text or call him, but he's FaceTime with Vrabel at the college hoops game. That's how I took it.
Big Smoke in Linfield. Yes, Big Smoke.
Hey, guys, how you doing? Just give me a minute here. So, Big Smoke from Linfield. I'm shutting this all down right now. I want to say you guys done a great job of milking this whole Brady thing. You've milked absolute anything out of it you can, and I get that. It's your job. But it only takes half a brain. Half a brain, I understand. Tom Brady staying on the Patriots. I put my life on it. It's a no-brainer. It's what we call a no-brainer.
He's staying with the Patriots?
Yeah, no-brainer, 100%. Anyone who thinks is not... They're just trolling.
Okay, so Big Smoke, the only part of your comment that's asinine is that last part. There are some really good reporters who have really good sources who think he's gone, and they're not trolling. And I think that if you are one of those people who say, and I've heard this a lot, like Portnoy, of course, like, you know, the children on Barstool. It's like, anyone who says he's leaving is just trolling to get a headline. You're a child. You're a child. I mean, some people are doing that, certainly. But there are some really good reporters who are diligent and are just relaying what they've learned. And that's all. And they're not trolling anyone. What is Jeff Darlington's – does he have an axe to grind with New England Patriots fans?
Not that I'm aware of.
Tom Curran has been telling you for months that the odds of Brady leaving are really strong and should be taken seriously. He said it – he's been saying it for a year. Is Tom Curran some sort of troll?
No.
He's a good reporter who's tight with a lot of people involved in this story, and
sure.
that's his take on the thing. Is he trolling you? So, like, grow up. You know, some reporters are hearing something, and maybe it turns out to be true, maybe it doesn't. They're not trolling you. They're not just doing it to get a headline. They're doing their job. And, I mean, if you're one of those
good
folks...
Good luck convincing these stupid babies.
I mean, seriously, if that's your approach, then... Go back to the kids' table and just like go on the fan sites, because it's not there are some actual. I mean, look, we'll troll you from time to time. I'm not above that. But I'm telling you, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about some people who report on this stuff are actually getting it from reliable people that they believe in, and they're just doing their job. And I'm sorry you don't like what they're telling you, but they're not doing it to troll you. Okay, some people aren't anyway.
It wouldn't surprise me if Brady is oscillating. Like, you know, one day he feels this, one day he feels that, and the messages that come out are contradictory because of that.
Is Brady trolling you? I mean, forget about you. Anyone who says it is just trying to get attention for himself. I mean, what a childish take that is. I hear it all the time. So would you put Brady on that list? Because don't you think Brady's tweaking you a little bit?
Oh, I wouldn't rule that out.
I mean, if what
whenever there's a negotiation going on, I don't rule out anybody from either side.
So he's FaceTiming with Vrabel? In the front row at the Syracuse game, on camera, on ESPN? Is it possible, is he and Edelman trolling you?
Absolutely could be, yep.
So what, you're going to some reporter who just reflects that? You go, oh, you just want to get a headline, children. Children, childish take. Dave in Auburn, go ahead, Dave.
Hey, guys, I was just wondering if you guys heard what Neon Dion said, kind of his take on the thing about a sign and trade between the 49ers and the Patriots. Belichick gets Garoppolo back, yep. And the Pats, you know, get Brady on a contract and get him over to the 49ers. I'll hang up and wait.
So it's just wrong to call it a sign and trade. The Patriots don't sign Brady and then trade him. They just – the Niners trade Garoppolo back to you before they – I guess they have an option due on him, right?
Correct.
Okay, so is it the third day of the league year the Garoppolo option
No,
is
it's
due?
In April.
Oh, it's all the way in April.
It's like April 1st or something.
So they have – So what? It's they're two separate transactions. It's not like your classic NBA sign and trade. It's the Niners would trade Garoppolo to you, and then Brady signs with San Fran as a free agent.
Right, but you have to be a separate move.
That's
yep.
it. Yeah, and it's not. They're sort of unrelated.
Right.
I mean, I don't feel like that's happening, but I mean, I'd like to see it happen. That'd be a great story.
Yeah, I mean, look, it keeps popping up, right? I think Florio wrote about it again earlier today. That there's still sort of nibbles out there about it or whispers out there about it. But that I think Lynch and Shanahan have indicated they're going to keep Garoppolo, right?
Several times.
Okay. So, you know, now look, they could be playing a game like everybody else. But if you're the Niners, why would you do that?
To win in the next couple of years?
Yeah. I mean,
answer your own question. He's an upgrade next year.
He is. Yeah, he is. But again, I just don't. When I say why would you do that, I think you're giving up. You know, years of a quarterback for a couple. Like, I get it for a team that doesn't have one or doesn't have a good one. And I don't know, again.
Or a team that feels it needs to maximize its window.
No, that's true, too. And look, when I say doesn't have a good one, I'm subjective about it. I don't think Derek Carr is a good one. Some people do.
Hey.
Okay, so.
That story's, I mean, nothing ever works out the way I want it to. So that one has no chance. Because Garoppolo coming back here. Oh, my God, that would be so good.
It would be unbelievable.
Oh, it would be so good, because Bill would definitely win with that guy.
Which is why it'll never happen.
Which is why it would never. It would be too good for me.
It'll never happen.
It'd be too fun, too good, and that's why it'll never happen.
I mean, could you imagine that if after all that, all those jackasses who called us and said, yeah, Bill's going to get Garoppolo back in 2 years.
That those guys were right?
Yeah, that they were right.
right?
Could you imagine? Like, I just think there's zero chance of it happening.
It'd be another Blenami.
But those numbskulls, if they end up being right, Holy crap. I don't know what I'll do.
Felger Mass presented by DraftKings on a reentry Monday, which is presented by East Boston Savings Bank. When we come back after the update, we're going to have a little Bruins minute for you, a quick Wilder minute, because this is, again, a reentry Monday presented by...
Yep, East Boston Savings Bank. So if you're looking to finance a home mortgage, a commercial real estate property, or maybe you're just looking for a free checking account, visit ebsb.com, East Boston Savings Bank. Getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray with the latest.
Felger and Mass.
I love it.
You were right, Mass.
I just keep loving it more and more.
Bored my listeners to death.
I finally feel alive.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sounds good.
He's got it in the equipment, lugs it over to the near side, and the horn is going to sound. The Boston Bruins are going to end the month of February winning 11 of 14 for Tuukka Rask. He collects shutout number 4, and the lead the Bruins have heading into March will be 9 points in the Atlantic Division. Your final today here at the Nassau Coliseum. Bruins 4, Islanders nothing.
All right, quick couple breakup topics here on a reentry Monday presented by East Boston Savings Bank. I thought the Bruins looked terrific on Saturday. I thought they looked really good, like top to bottom. And I just, I'm setting myself up for something. I know it because I'm buying on the team. I'm just buying on the team. Do you guys have thoughts?
I thought Kasha looked good. That was the first time I really noticed him on both ends of the ice. I thought defensively he stood out. Now, and I know we're going to get to the injury with Stamkos and Tampa. Like, you know, I don't think they got to worry about them, and it feels like they're going to end up with the President's Trophy, which is an albatross. So, you know, I do feel like you are setting yourself up.
Well, look, they feel like they've righted the ship. They got a couple of freakish goals. It was kind of the McAvoy goal was a freaking rocket, absolute rocket. But at the end of the day, you know, to me, I feel like they've straightened it out after those two games that they had. I wish Stamkos were playing this week.
So, you do.
I do. I want to see them go, you know, full power against full power as close to possible.
I've seen Tampa with Stamkos. I don't need to see him. I know exactly that looks like.
You're saying just take advantage of it.
Just take advantage of it.
Yeah.
And hope he's out for the full 8 weeks. And when you see him in the second round, that he's just coming back and not up to speed. And take advantage of that injury because you need it.
Surgery on an abdominal muscle tear. Like, even when he comes back, I don't think he's going to be right.
So it's a sports hernia, right? I mean, that's what that sounds like.
I mean, that's not good.
Which is not good. Tough injury for a hockey player. And so you try to work through it. If it's 8 weeks, so it's 6 to 8 weeks. If it's 6 weeks, he's back in the middle of the first round. If it's 8 weeks, he's back in the middle of the second, which would be in the middle of your series with the Lightning. You need that break because Tampa has more talent than you. I don't know if they're playing better than you. No one's playing better than you. And, you know, when you guys say they righted the ship, see, that's just it. I've never really felt this year like the ship's really started to go down.
Yeah, those two games are pretty bad, though.
Sure, but, I mean.
It was just a small dip. It wasn't like we're extending a couple of weeks where it's.
I'm not saying it was coming apart or anything. I just think that they played badly in those two games.
I think their dips that they've had this year, which have been few and far between, have been nothing more than the ebb and flow of the season. Like, I've seen nothing the entire year that leads me to believe there's something fundamentally wrong with the team. And I'm not telling you they're perfect. I'm just telling you their downs have been down like you have in 82 games. But they're, you know, they've just clearly been the best team in the league.
There's nothing that's going to feel you panic stricken, I feel like, with any of the like minor swoons that they've had. I've been annoyed. I mean, some of these dumb losses to teams like Detroit and these last two last week, but it's nothing more than that.
Nothing
they
more
always
than that.
Bounce back.
Nothing more than that. I mean, almost every year with the Bruins team, I'm saying, well, that's a fatal flaw. That's a fatal flaw. This is going to catch up to them. And I don't know. I've just not felt that hardly once this year with the Bruins. I think they've just been focused the entire year. And again, I thought they looked the Islanders certainly aren't world beaters, but they're a tough out with Barry Trotz, the way he gets them to play. And, you know, those fluky, the first two goals were flukes. First one, I still can't believe they didn't challenge where Bergeron goes barreling into the goalie. But, you know, either way, that's the way it looks against the Islanders. I just thought they dominated outside of the lucky goals. They dominated. And I'm with you. Kasha showed there are a couple shifts where I'm like, oh, that's why they got this kid. Because he's quick. He can move, Kasha. And so I sort of liked the looks of that. The D were all over the place. Coyle had some shifts and some moves. You know, didn't finish, of course, but put some moves on some guys, had some possession plays that were just through the roof. Like, I just
think Coyle had a good game.
I just think they're good. And I just continue to think that they're good. And now Stamkos is out. Stamkos is out into the playoffs, first or second round.
So the C's starting to part a little bit.
That's a big development. That's a big development. If you get to face the Islanders and he's not, or you face the Lightning and he's not there or is diminished in some way. So I just think the arrow continues to be pointed up on the Bruins. I know I am getting my hopes up.
Yeah, if anything's going to trip them up, Mike, it's the curse of the President's Trophy and their DNA. That's it. Like, you know, they're playing lights out. They look like a team that could win the Stanley Cup, but it is the Bruins.
I was just looking forward to those games this week. That would have been fun to watch. Because they probably would end up coming out in a split, and they still might. I mean, I'm going to tell you, Tampa's going to suck without them.
Oh, they're still fun, because without Stamkos, Tampa and you are now even. Stamkos makes the Lightning, you know, slightly better. You know, I don't know if slightly better, better team on the roster. Without Stamkos, you're now even. So these are going to be even games, I think. All right, here's Bill in Maynard. He has a thought on the Bruins over the weekend. Go ahead, Bill.
Yeah, first time, long time. Great show, guys. Thanks. Real quick, I completely agree. They dominated over the weekend against the Islanders. The more this season plays out, they're giving us absolutely zero reason to doubt them. But I'm still with you. I'm waiting for that heartbreaking at the end, but we'll see. I was expecting a good test this weekend, but with Stamkos out, we'll see.
Okay, well, it's Tuesday. It's still a test. Tampa's still really good. I mean, you stack up roster to roster, I think you're even. When they have Stamkos, they're probably better than you. So these are still tests, and I expect them to treat it as such. I expect them to win because I think they've passed all these tests pretty much this year. All right, so there's your Bruins Minute on a Reentry Monday. Real quick, our guy Deontay Wilder has activated his automatic option to have the rematch with Tyson Fury, and we're going to be July 18 in Vegas. What are your thoughts on that, Maz?
So I told you, I was hoping that Fury would fight Joshua first, and Wilder would sit one out, take on some tomato can, beat the snot out of him, and then fight the winner of that fight. So I just fear that the same thing's going to happen. He's fought this guy twice already. You know, he's been knocked around. The second time he got his ass kicked completely. And I heard Mad Dog say this, so I'm stealing it.
Good.
I don't know that I would pay for the next fight. I mean, like, I don't, you know, if I'm boxing, I'm looking at this going, how are we going to sell this when they just fought and this guy got his ass kicked? How are we going to sell that? And I'm inclined to say thanks, but no thanks. If Wilder wins, then I'll find out what happened and dig into it. But and I'm talking about purely the expenditure now. To spend the $80 on it as a fan, after seeing the second one, I don't know that I'd be inspired to do that. I'll probably end up doing it anyway.
You don't think the first one was worth your $80?
You mean this one the other night?
Yes. Yes, right, the second one, sorry.
Yeah, but the outcome was in doubt going in. You follow me?
I do.
So if I feel right now like he'll get his ass kicked again.
Me too.
I need to know that the outcome is uncertain.
Okay, so I mean, not only am I going to dip back in, I'd like pay to go to the fight if I were in Vegas, which, like, this time, can we please do this? But that's an aside. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how Wilder wins either, unless Fury falls off the wagon and has some sort of big relapse with his mental health or his substance abuse or something. Because Wilder just, I mean, he has one punch. He has one mode of attack. And Tyson Fury, we've seen now, can win on points. He can win being the aggressor. He can go left and go right. He can move. He can do all sorts of things. And Fury's just got a full game. Wilder's got a 1-2. That's it. And I don't know how Wilder, I mean, so Wilder's really setting himself up here, I think, where if he loses again, where do you go from here? It's like, if you pass on this, go beat up a couple guys, sort of get back, and then in a year or two, you know, build the thing back up and build your game up. You know, I just think, what is that, 5 months? That's not enough time for you to improve your game. You don't have – Wilder doesn't have enough game.
No, I just don't – I think he got exposed in the last fight. I told you that. And I think so. The one part of it is I feel like they are mismanaging him. If I were his handlers, I'd say, you're not fighting this guy again right now. We're going to opt out.
Can't win. They've fought, what was it, 19 rounds now? Was it go 7 this last one? So they've fought 19 rounds, and Wilder has won maybe 2 of them, maybe 3, maybe 3 of the 19.
He's getting his ass kicked.
I mean, how much more do you need to see?
Exactly. So this is my point. It's like, and look, I'm all for watching someone get his ass kicked. I'm not telling you I didn't enjoy the last one. But I was also a little surprised that it was as one-sided as it was. So, like, I don't know. I look at the next one and say, if the outcome's not in doubt,
yeah,
hard to get. I mean, if I know what the ending's going to be.
The fight was good. I thought it was worth your money. But was it the kind of night that leaves you clamoring for another one?
No.
I don't know if it reaches that level.
No, he got his ass kicked. I mean, at the end of the day, he got his ass kicked. And again, if you know, I'm all for seeing someone take some shots to the head and bleed out the ear and all the other stuff. Like, I'm all for that. But will I spend $80 or just catch the big shots on YouTube? And so, to me, I think they got a little bit of a problem trying to sell that fight. I mean, they'll get a lot of people back. But like you said, they fought twice now, and he's getting his ass kicked twice.
Okay, those items, you can weigh in on those. And we have the Brady Watch, the very latest on who might be coming back if Tom Brady leaves. I'm also going to have something free for you, free ticket giveaway coming up next. You can give us a call at 617-779-0985.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Spent so much time this week talking about the impending potential quarterback carousel in free agency. Where's Tom Brady going to go? Where's Philip Rivers going to go? Keep an eye on Andy Dalton, of course, the former franchise quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. And one thing that Duke Tobin, top executive for the Bengals, actually told me on the Rap Sheet and Friend podcast in Mobile, they're not going to send Andy Dalton anywhere he doesn't want to go. They are going to work with him on a potential trade. So that is what they've been doing. His agent, Jeff Nally, has been working with the Bengals, seeking out potential teams of interest for Andy Dalton. Doesn't sound like there's been any hardcore negotiations between teams and the Bengals, but they are certainly looking at it. Among the names to consider, the Chicago Bears are one of the teams that would have some potential interest. Right here in Indianapolis, the Colts, who of course have been linked to Philip Rivers pretty heavily, they're expected to have some interest as well. And if the Patriots lose Tom Brady, one of their backup plans may end up being Andy Dalton. So it might not be something that's on the front burner, but it does sound like Dalton eventually will be traded this offseason.
Okay, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network. I got free tickets for you coming up here in a second, and your calls. Rappaport, NFL Network. I feel like Rapp, maybe a little bit behind on some of this stuff. He had Brady and the Patriots meeting at the combine, which they never did. So I listen to Rapp because I think he's good with owners and good with the Patriots owners. So I think that he's valuable in that you get the Patriots ownership spin, if not necessarily the truth. Again, I think the Patriots ownership is sensitive to this whole thing and the perception that maybe the Pats are freezing out Brady or not communicating with Brady. And so, yeah, they're going to meet Ian at the combine when they're not. But Rappaport on the Andy Dalton thing is, I feel like he's a step behind on this, in that Peter King has been saying Andy Dalton for a while. You've been hearing Dalton, you know, rumored here for weeks, you know, maybe over a month. But now I wonder if they've moved on to another train of thought, because Peter King put this in his column today. And again, Peter King was the first one to give you Andy Dalton. And now Peter King today wrote, I think, judging by history, the Patriots will not rush into the quarterback market if they lose Brady. I'll tell you how I see a New England minus Brady scenario playing out. New England goes through the draft and maybe picks a quarterback, I doubt in the first round, and maybe does not. But after the draft, there will be four or five vets looking for a landing spot. Will one of those, like Marcus Mariota, Jameis Winston, Case Keenum, someone else, will one still unsigned by May 1st be interested in a one-year, low-money deal to recharge a career and have the chance to play for a six-time Super Bowl champ? Question mark. And so Peter King doesn't mention Andy Dalton anywhere in his story today. He doesn't mention Andy Dalton anywhere there.
It's a good point by Peter King, though.
And I wonder if the Pats have already moved on from Andy Dalton because Andy Dalton has a market. And what I mean is this. Will they take Andy Dalton, or, and they've also been linked to Marcus Mariota. There
Correct.
Was another story out there that said that they've shown interest in the free agent Marcus Mariota. Those guys make sense to me if they're dirt cheap and you get them on a bargain. But if you have to, and I'm sorry to interject one more thing. There was a report out there that the Bears are interested in Andy Dalton to come in and compete with Trubisky. Okay? So if the Patriots now suddenly have to outbid someone for Andy Dalton, forget about it.
They're out.
And if they now suddenly have to outbid someone for Marcus Mariota, no way. It defeats the whole purpose. I'm not getting in a freaking bidding war as much as I want those guys to play here, because it'd be interesting to see Bill try and win with one of those guys. I'm not getting into a bidding war over one of these guys.
What a world we live in that there's a market for Andy Dalton.
Right? So there's so, like, and when I say bidding war or a market, all it takes is one other team. So if there's just one other team that wants Andy Dalton, they can have him. And if there's just one other team that's willing to pay for Marcus Mariota, you can pay him and you can take him. I want the Patriots to have someone that's cheap and, you know, like that thing. Because if you're just going to pay a guy or extend yourself for a guy, bring back Brady. So I think Peter King's onto it there. If Andy Dalton, if no one were interested in Andy Dalton, he had a really low market, then yeah, I'd go do it now. I'd do it yesterday and have that in my back pocket. But if I've suddenly got to outbid the Bears, forget about it. You can have them.
Yeah, see, I also think it's consistent with the way Bill does things. It's like we look at it and say, which guy would you rather have? Murray. Murray likes Mariota. I like Dalton better than Mariota, right? Like, and I say Murray likes Mariota relative to Dalton.
Yeah.
And we focus on the individual player. You know what Bill does? These guys are all pretty close.
Yeah, exactly.
So you know what? I'll let them all settle, and then whatever's left, I'll take at the cheapest price.
Dirt cheap.
So, like, which is how he operates, right? He lets everybody else run to the counter, and then what's left, he buys the best value product that there is left. So I could totally see it going that way. I don't think that, I mean, that to me sounds like a Belichick type of plan.
Okay, we continue with your calls, as promised. Brady Watch, the little action here on the fight, and we'll have a ticket giveaway here in a second. Anthony and Waltham, give us a thought on Wilder Fury.
So I think Wilder's taking this fight so fast because Fury said he has about two or three more fights left in him, and his last fight's going to be in the UFC. And I'm more intent to believe him because this guy donated his last two purses all to charity, so I don't think he cares about the money. So I think that's why Wilder's trying to jump on this fight so quick.
Is that true? Fury said he's just going to box a couple more times and go UFC?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there more money in UFC than prize fighting? Billy Lanny, or Stu, you guys know this better. Is there more money in a big UFC fight than a heavyweight championship fight?
I think that there's more publicity for UFC than there is. I think the money's close.
These guys each just made $25 million. You make $25 million in a UFC fight?
I can't imagine you do.
These guys each just banked $25 million, and the next one is going to be 60-40 split, and the number's going to go down a little bit because they didn't quite hit their projection. But, you know, they're going to make tens of millions of dollars. Do you do that? Fighting that stupid cage?
I mean, I'm the wrong guy to ask. I'm not a UFC guy.
I'm really not.
Matt, I think it's closer. I think they're pretty close.
Really? Matt in the car. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, listen, I'm in on this Fury Wilder rematch. I just want to know what's going on with Joshua Ruiz, and did Ruiz enact a rematch on that? Because, I mean, we're all in on the Joshua Fury thing for unification. I'll hang up. Thanks,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, so I don't know what their deal was with Ruiz. Does Ruiz get an automatic rematch like Wilder does? I mean, this was part of the deal, that either guy could trigger an automatic
Absolutely
rematch
right.
within 25 days. I'm not sure if that happened with Ruiz. That fellow's got to go get in shape. Ruiz does. Okay? Because that's sort of a blight on the division. You turn on that thing, and you look at him, and he said, this guy should not be, this is not a professional athlete. No, he's not in shape. Jeff and Woburn, go.
Hey, I don't know if you guys remember Roberto Duran and Sugar Ray Leonard. Duran won the first fight, and Leonard exercised his rematch clause immediately because he knew Duran would be out partying and doing drugs, and he caught him fast. Tyson Fury's a mess. He's admitted it. He's out partying right now in the UK, being a clown.
Is he?
I like the way he's exercising his rematch clause fast, and I think he should just take it and go for it.
Okay, tell you what, that's Wilder's only chance. It's Wilder's only chance is that Fury doesn't train properly and isn't in the proper place. It's his only chance. He can't outbox him. And he can, you know, if he catches him with one of his right hands, yes, but Fury's too good. I mean, I don't know. Since Fury started training properly in the first fight, the very first one, Fury was just back from his hiatus. And he wasn't in boxing shape yet.
I mean, I took the cheese on Wilder. I thought that after him, the way he hit Fury in that first one, he'd knock him out in the second fight. And the reality is he can't box. Way back when we were talking about Wilder Joshua, I always thought Joshua would win the fight because Wilder can't box. Joshua's just way more skilled. The problem is that Joshua has a glass jaw. So I took the cheese on Wilder. He fought Fury and he got his ass kicked. I don't know how you can take him seriously now against anybody who can box.
Okay, so
I think if he fought Joshua, Fury, or Ruiz, he'd lose to all three.
No, he wouldn't lose to Ruiz.
Ruiz can box.
He can a little bit. No, more than a little bit. I don't know.
So now, I don't know.
Ruiz just isn't in shape.
So I don't know about his ability to slip punches, things like that. And if that's the case, and he's a sitting duck, but he beat Joshua once. So, like, I just think Wilder is the least skilled of those four guys.